time for Message in the Bottle, brought to you by Bangor Wine and Cheese Company, 86 Hammond Street in downtown Bangor. Eric Meehan joining us this afternoon. Good day, sir.
Good day to you, gentlemen. I was in a pretty good mood. My evening was basically, you know, of running around chasing after little people playing soccer was canceled by Mother Nature. I've got a wonderful pizza. The dough I started yesterday at like 2 o'clock. Slow rise, slow ferment. Everything's going good. Then
we called,
and of course, as you mentioned, of course, my Giants, and also I don't really claim them because I don't follow baseball anymore because it's not fun anymore. But the Phillies are the team of my youth. It's exciting to see all that. Everything's good. Then this comes across my radar, folks. This is Dana White's, and I know, local connections, respect Dana White. We all love you.
Yeah.
Love you, love you, love you. Thank you for anything you've given to us, yada, yada, yada. Dana White's Power Flap League has been, I believe, approved by the Nevada State Athletic Commission. Folks, in case you're not aware, let me read to you from the article. Flap fighting has been around for several years. Actually, it's been around for a lot longer than that. It features two competitors, see if you can follow me here, across from one another, throwing flaps with open hands to each other's faces. That's it. Now, of course, the spokesman for the league said, I swear to you, said Power Slap League wants to eliminate some of the more archaic aspects of the sport.
Such as?
Such as maybe slapping another person across the face. Guys, I can't make this up.
It'll be on Fox soon. I mean, we're 10 minutes from rollerball.
Guys.
We're one NHL lockout from it becoming the fourth largest sport in the country.
Right.
I'm already warming up my shoulder. If you want to come over for some preliminary bouts.
Now, see, that carry is different. That I respect because that's some stuff that's been building up for decades. And I think we all have a list of people we'd like to practice for the
Yes.
League.
But watching other people do it from the comfort of my lazy boy? No, I don't think so.
I cannot imagine suggesting to my spouse, honey, I just thought I'd throw on the sports. Oh, really? What is it? Is it soccer? Not exactly. And for this is a woman who, by the way, roundly, after the recent Tua Tagovailoa nonsense, turned to me and said, our son is not playing football. Talk about things that I think are really awesome and some deem as indeed archaic.
I'm just waiting for you to say, look, I don't really like the sport. I just want to follow my power slapping fantasy team.
Yeah, well, geez, that's all kind too, isn't it?
Of course it is.
It's gotta be. That's why it's in Nevada, right?
Right.
So. That's not even why we're here, folks. I swear we're here to talk about wine, and I apologize. I was absent last week dealing with in fairness, issues relating to the downtown, so I guess that's pertinent. As you all might remember, I'm the president of the board of the Downtown Bangor Partnership, and we've been trying to deal with a lot of the issues that I know you guys do talk about in other portions of this program that are both good and bad. But of course, recently there's been a lot of stuff on people's minds, so I apologize that I was taken away for that. We are quickly running out of time in the year, and that is totally on me. Talking about the rest of the wine world, so I just kind of want to do we're going to do the North America overview. I'm not going to spend as much time on California, et cetera, as I usually do. So let's just touch on California, America really quick, North America, the United States specifically, but kind of going into Canada. North America, as you guys all remember, is the root of phylloxera, the louse that was sent over on clippings to Europe which destroyed a lot of their vineyards. By a lot, I mean like 99% of their vineyards, which in odd ways helped out other industries like the hard cider industry in North America. So there you go. But it was found on the east coast of America, and still on the east coast of America, we do have phylloxera. It's this sort of weird damp conditions. Phylloxera does not like dry conditions, which is why things like high altitudes, very dry desert conditions like, say, Mendoza or whatever are very ideal, because you don't have to do a lot of work preventing phylloxera. But we do have a very robust wine industry on the east coast, certainly Long Island, New Jersey, Virginia. The Mid-Atlantic is actually very Bordelaise, that is Bordeaux, right, in style, in relative terms of climate, which means it's kind of swampy, to be honest. You can grow some quality grapes there, but it does take some effort. Of course, the Finger Lakes region, also part of New York wine scene, but vastly different. These wonderful glacial lakes that are up in central New York that are much better suited for the more Germanic and Alsace varieties. So you see a lot of Rieslings, Cabernet Francs, things like that up there. The rest of the sort of Northeast they grow wine everywhere. They grow, there's wine made in all 50 states, by the way, folks, but only some of them are going to be worth mentioning, which is why I'm not mentioning Maine. sorry, guys. We will talk a little bit about Maine, but not so much for the grapes, but sometimes for the fruit wines that they make are quite good. Then moving down to the southeast, where it is very damp a lot of the time, they don't really do grapes that well because it's just too humid and hot and kind of gross down there. They have a grape called muscadine, depending on how you pronounce it, that makes okay wine. It's sort of a local regional specialty, and people ask for it up here, and it's just not a thing. Kerry may have had it down. I don't know if they get it in as far as New Orleans, but that's kind of their only thing, but they don't really do anything. Places that are kind of popping up. I'm sorry, how much time do I have? I'm probably running out.
Kerry says 2 minutes.
2 minutes. All right. Places that are kind of popping up that are hot, because we'll talk about California and the Pacific Northwest, et cetera, which are, you know, kind of the major ones. We'll talk about those over the next couple of weeks. But a place that's kind of popping up that's really interesting is the Southwest, if you will, Texas. Texas actually has some cool areas that get really, you know, wonderful ripening conditions. Also, Arizona, New Mexico, certain places are being scoped out and growing again. Sort of these, the international noble varietals: Cab Sauvignon, Merlot, Chardonnay. Of course, these are also being grown because they're good for agritourism, which they're working on a lot, probably equally as much as actually trying to make good wine. But there really are some good wines and wineries that are popping up that are kind of more interesting that I would bet we're going to be talking about, you know, 20 years time, which is an odd thing to say with climate change. But actually, I think some of these cooler regions in the deserts where, again, you don't have to deal with a lot of these mildew or phylloxera or anything like that, they're actually quite ideal. So we're going to be talking a lot about that. In the meantime, I'm sure I am just about out of time. I will join all of you next week, and we'll start talking about California, etc. And everybody take care of yourself. There's a lot of crud going around with all these kids back to school, etc. So,
absolutely. All right, here's a parting shot for you, Eric. Ow!
Yes, sir.
And ow! Oh, Kerry just slapped me right upside the head. That was it. He's got a big hand.
Very good. You guys... You keep practicing.
Right. This practicing. Is just, we're getting ready.
Yeah.
Thanks, Eric. See you next week.
Cheers, gentlemen.
Eric May and Bangor Wine and Cheese Company. Message in the bottle.